Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
This past week, I had the opportunity of being in Loveland, Colorado. Beautiful Loveland, Colorado, believe it or not. I actually went up there Wednesday night. There was a conference, a summit on the subject of Israel. And I was invited a year ago, February, to be a speaker at that summit. After I was invited to be a speaker at that summit, there was another invitation made to someone else, and the pastor from the church, Pastor Jonathan Wiggins, is a great church. It's called Resurrection Fellowship up there in Loveland area. It's a great church. And if a lot of our people who move, matter of fact, from here to Fort Collins or in that area, normally end up drifting toward that church. Very similar in a lot of ways. But this thing kind of exploded. They opened up this invitations, and before you know it, they were sold out with 1,000 registrants. They blew their minds a little bit, didn't realize that the importance of the subject, but it was a timely, very timely message with things that are going on. So a lot of hearts were stirred. There were people that came from Belgium. There were people that came from Canada. There were people that came from South Africa. I mean, really coming. And it wasn't because I was on the speaker's list, I guarantee you that. But Jack Hayford was on the speaker's list, and just other well-known people around the world on that subject that had come. So I had chosen the subject that I had was Romans chapters 9, 10, 11, God's positional paper on Israel. There's a lot of confusion concerning Israel. There's a lot of bad press about Israel and the Jewish people and how they're handling certain situations, but what a lot of people don't know is what this word says about Israel and the Jewish people. And the promise was is that they would be back in that land and that God miraculously bring them from around the world to that homeland, and he would sprinkle them with clean water, and it's really a setup to the return of Christ back to this earth. And that's all in the Bible, what I just said. So it's very important. But if it's that important to God, who do you think is really going to come against that will? The enemy. And he's going to use any means that he possibly can to challenge the purposes of God and the will of God. Did it from the very beginning in the garden, and he's going to continue to do it. I want to tell you, he's going to challenge you. He's going to challenge you and God's will for your life and purposes for your life. That's why it's so important that we be led by His Spirit. We stay centered and focused in on Him. And you will have your battles, but God is greater. He that is in us is greater than the one that is in the world. And I'm going to share with you about that. And I'm just leading up to how this word came to my heart. So after we heard a lot of messages about there are a lot of, you know, ministries and how ministries are doing, a lot of how is a church operating in the land of Israel. A lot of Messianic believers were there that were talking about what God has led them to do. The largest church in Jerusalem, the pastor Wayne Hilsden, was there as a speaker and sharing. You remember Kurt and Maggie from our congregation. They're over there with Pastor Wayne under his leadership, associate pastor. They were here ministering as one of our pastors. And so when it came to the subject, and I went through all about what Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11, it was only, and I really studied a lot of hours for it, but it was only the afternoon of the day before, and I was to speak at 10:45 session in the morning. Jack Hayford was going to be speaking at night. And that the Lord put it on my heart. Ephesians chapter 6. And that's why I'm going to go there. So I just kind of set up why, and you understand why I'm going there in just a second. So if you follow along with me in Ephesians chapter 6, the book of Ephesians, there are six chapters in it. And Paul points out so many different tremendous truths in it. I'm going to go to the end there. And there's a lot of teachings in all the chapters, but look how he ends the book, or this letter that you could call it. In verse 10, listen to these words. Finally, say finally. You know, Paul would say that, and then he would preach for another hour. Did you ever catch that in the scripture? He would say finally, and then there would be more to the letter, and then he'd say finally, and well, that won't be the case tonight. But finally, my brethren, be strong, say strong, in the Lord. Say in the Lord. I want you to catch this, be strong in the Lord. And the reason I'm going there is because we're in this battle and we're taking too much upon ourselves. And you can't win spiritual battles. You can't win this war against the enemy trying to attack the purposes and will of God if you're standing on your own two feet, so to speak. If you're trying to stand and fight it in the natural, it's got to be in the Lord. He's going to show us how to do that. And the power of whose might? His might. It's not the power of our own might, but the power of His might. And then it puts on, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Stand. So Paul, this is important enough that he takes the chapter 6 and ends this book with this exhortation, if you will, of if you're going to walk with the Lord, if you're going to succeed in your walk, you got to apply these principles right here. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the subtlety, the attacks of the devil. Now, first of all, you have to realize there's a devil. And it's not the devil that's portrayed by Hollywood, and there's a whole lot of mystic stuff that is coming out that we're exposed to and our kids are exposed to. But the reality is there is a real devil. It's a fallen angel of God that opposes everything that is of God. He's real. And you need to know that he's real, not to fear him, but to know that he's there. I guess one of the things we learned when I was in the Marine Corps, you got to know your enemy. You've got to know his tactics. You've got to know where he's coming from if you expect to be successful at all. May be able to stand, for we do not wrestle against, and here's where it gets to, flesh and blood. So I think Paul maybe felt the same thing that I was feeling here, is that there are too many people trying to wrestle this life out, work this thing out, make it work in flesh and blood. Maybe with their own thinking and thoughts and strategies and programs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you can get caught up in that. But here's where the battle is. Not flesh and blood. It's not on the earth. It's not like we're going to duke it out in front here. And it's going to be obvious who's the winner and who's the loser at the end of it. No, that's not where you're duking it out. That person who's speaking ill of you on the job and it kind of whispers, get back to you, and gossip that gets back to you, tries to attack your character or identity or things like that. Listen, that's not just a flesh and blood battle that's going on. There are spiritual forces behind that to tear at you, to pick away at your identity. You follow what I'm saying here? So they're real. And if we don't realize that and we just kind of go into a whatever, you can just pull back or you can go the other way and just say, well, I'll get back at that person and start your own gossip about that person. So it becomes a flesh and blood thing. How many know it can happen between a man and a woman in marriage? You start fighting battles, and if you don't realize it, there's an enemy he'll just sit back and say, have at it, duke it out, flesh and blood. There'll be a winner, there'll be a loser. No, they'll both be losers. So there's a real enemy. So one of the first things that we need to do when these things begin to pop up their ugly head is do what? Just begin to say, pray in the Spirit. Begin to pray and say, God, I realize that the enemy is working against my marriage. The enemy is working against my children, their relationship with me. The enemy is working on the job to destroy. And that's where we need to begin to do some battle. flesh and blood, but against, and then it begins to list principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, Paul's listing, and we're not going to go into this type of teaching, but there are all kind of levels of powers and authorities in the spiritual realm. There's all kind of activity. There are literally principalities that are high up on their ranking in that fallen angelic world that are given territory, given over nations. How do we know that? Daniel. When Daniel was praying for the deliverance of Israel to go back from Babylon to their homeland, do you remember in the prayer that when the answer finally came, that the angel said to him, listen, God heard your request from the very beginning. I was sent, and as I came, and we get this picture that the angels of God came down, and they were warring it out with the fallen angels, and it was like at a standstill. Now, this is a mystery to me. But I know it's in the scripture, so I know it's happened. So there was a standstill until they called on a higher archangel that came and broke through. And then the answer came to the prayer. Now, some of you are probably saying, whoa, I've never heard this stuff before. But it's true. So it lets me know. Now, the devil hasn't changed from Daniel's day to our day. If anything, the battle's intensified. If anything, you feel more of the spiritual pressure on our lives than we've ever felt before. And that also is scripturally predicted, that what the closer we get to the return of Christ, the more intense the battle's going to get. I often say this, but some people say, well, you know, the pressures on our life are so great now that it's so different than maybe mom and dad's day. Listen, if I go back to my mom and dad, or I go back to my grandfather, your grandfather, you go back a little bit, they worked hard. They had pressures just to survive. You could go back to the wars, Vietnam, there was pressure during World War II. There was pressure during the Depression. You talk about pressures on their life. Okay, you say, so what's the difference? If they had, I can't look at my life, and I look at my uncles and the way they worked in the coal mines and things like that. After 12 hours coming home, black, you know, with the coal dirt, and seeing how hard they worked just to provide some food on their table. I say, it doesn't get any greater than that. So what is the pressure? There's more of the spiritual pressure. There's more spiritual activity happening around us, is a picture that we get. The rulers of darkness and all these things. Therefore, say therefore. That's verse 13 now we're at. Therefore, or that actually means, because this is true, because of this reality, therefore, then there's instruction on what we ought to do. And I'm not going to go into all of the armor, but we're to put on the whole armor of God. So obviously Paul is saying there's something you can do about this battle. You're not left defenseless. You're not left without protection. As a matter of fact, there's armor you can put on. And then he begins to mention the armor that you may be, the armor's for what reason? To be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now notice the very next word, stand, therefore. Paul wants us to stand strong in the power of God's might. He wants us to not be swayed or not be pushed aside from God's purposes, not be knocked down by the battles. He wants to stand strong. So there's armor, having girded your waist with truth, and there's having the breastplate of righteousness. Now he's not talking about physical armor here. You know, otherwise we'd have people in here with helmets on, breastplates and shields and swords. I mean, that would be a funny sight, wouldn't it? It'd be like Halloween in here with everybody dressed up for something. So it's not talking about the physical stuff that we're wearing. He's talking about their spiritual armor. So you owe it to yourself to take a little Bible study time, and what are the truths behind this spiritual thing? And we're not going to do that tonight, but we have a Bible college or Sunday school classes that cover that. And that's why it's so valuable to take more than what we just, there's only a certain amount of time we have on our services on the weekend, but there are other things you could get into. Start your own Bible study. Get a group of people around and say, let's get into Ephesians chapter 6. Let's talk about it. What does this mean? And help one another do it. That's why small groups are important in Bible studies to get to them. And then he mentions all this armor and the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. He's throwing darts all the time. Take the helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance. Say perseverance. You see, you don't throw a quick prayer up and say, and expect, okay, God's just going to deliver you from all that. Just a quick prayer. There has to be persevering. You've got to push through. They might have to pray over that thing, but there's a pushing through. And for me, the utterance may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly. But the point being here is that there's a warfare going on, folks. So how do you fight this warfare? How do we win? The armor is part of it. But I want you to go back to Ephesians chapter 1. I want to show something else that just came alive in my heart today. Today, it really came alive in my heart because I just saw this and I've read this book over and over again. But look at Ephesians where Paul starts out. And I want you to get it. I'll begin. His greeting is verses 1 through 2. And then in verse 3, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing where? In heavenly places in Christ. Now, Paul is really speaking out. There are some good things he's talking about here that have been given to us who are believers in Jesus Christ that have come. That, what a beautiful hymn song we were singing about, you know, being cleansed and God, there's no guilt or shame because of what Jesus has done for us and forgiven us. In heavenly places, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons. Are you getting a picture here that God had good things in store for those who give their heart over to him? Blessed in heavenly places, called us as sons and daughters. You know, I feel more secure already just reading this again that, my security is in Christ. My security is being in him. So all these things that come, the more secure I feel in him, the more I draw myself to him. There's a lot can be happening around me that I'm not involved in flesh and blood fighting, trying to work out all these situations. The more I'm drawn to him and see myself in heavenly places. Hopefully you're getting this picture. Adoptions as son by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It has been the will of God the Father from the very beginning of time for you to be with him. That his will is to bless you, to surround you and protect you as a father. This is his pleasure. In the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation and the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. Wow. I don't know if you ever thought about it. Do I have an inheritance or will I have an inheritance? Or maybe I'm waiting for that phone call is going to come. Are you George Morrison? We've been looking for you and you have a great, great, great aunt that left you, whatever, the state of New York. But having attained, our inheritance is in God. Being predestined according to the purpose of him, it works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. Now, you got to keep following with me. I'm going to jump a little bit. Verse 15. Therefore, I also have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, Paul said. And verse 18. And here's his prayer. Here is Paul. You know, you think of Paul, such a great man of God. We respect him for his letters and his commitment to Christ, to be able to write them down so we could learn from them today. But think about it. He prayed for the saints in those days. He prayed for them. There are people that pray for you. I pray for you. I really do. I pray. And it's not similar, but things like Paul would pray, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know, say no. Man, we got to know this. What is the hope of his calling? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? That, Lord, open up our eyes to realize what you have invested in your children. And you're not, we haven't been left alone. We're not fighting this battle alone. And it's not just that Jesus is in your corner and sending you out to the middle of the ring. I don't even see it that way. He's not just in our corner, but there's something even more than that. His power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated, say seated. You got to get this, because here's the point. Seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. Now notice, where is Christ seated? Far above all. Say that. Far above all. All those things that Paul mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6, principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, all rulers of darkness, all of that, far, say far above. Far above. Christ is far above all those things. Not on the same level or equal, far above all those things that are battling against God's will in our life and battling us. He's far above all the principality of power and might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Now notice this, and he put all things, say all things. He put all things under his what? Under his feet. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, here's how I have seen this scripture. That if we're going to be successful, if we're going to win this battle, it's got to be from a different position that we find ourselves on this earth. It can't be flesh and blood. It can't be standing on the same ground with the enemy. I want to tell you right now, if you think, if you're standing on the same ground and that you're going to win with the enemy, it can't be. You won't win. There's no winning. He's more powerful. He's more subtle. He's more deceitful. His wickedness has deceived millions of people and put them in. He has people held in darkness now because of his tactics and all that. So we cannot ever see ourselves on equal level or try to fight it down here. You won't win. So what Paul is trying to tell us is that that's not where you're at. You have a far greater inheritance. When God saved you, he delivered you not only from the powers of darkness into the kingdom of his Son, but think about that, from delivered from the control of the darkness into the kingdom of his Son. I live in a different kingdom. Spiritually, I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's what I'm trying to get to. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Well, you might say, I don't feel that sometimes, like I'm seated in heavenly places. But you are. But by faith, we're seated in the heavenly places. So rather than fight from the position down here, we need to begin to claim, receive, believe by faith the Word of God that He has lifted me up. He is the head over all things. He has put all things under his feet. Now, here's the picture that I have, and this is what I've always stood on. We're the body of Christ, right? We make up the body of Christ, everyone in here. Paul goes on to describe that in 1 Corinthians. And he talks about the body of Christ, chapters 11, chapter 12, that arms and legs, and we all have a different position. But notice, did you see what Paul was saying here? And he has put all things under his feet. Listen, if I'm part of the body of Christ, all of these things are under me no matter what part I am. Even if I'm the feet of that body, he is still under my feet. So as the body of Christ, he is the head. We stand in a position, or we're seated in a position above all these things. Now, you might ask the question, well, if that be true, then there shouldn't be any battle we fight. There shouldn't be any trials that we go through. There shouldn't be any temptation that we go through. No, that's not it. There's a reason why we're still here. And that reason why we're still here is to claim these promises and live them out so that others might come into the same inheritance and adoption as sons and daughters and become part of that great body. That's what's on the heart of God. So we might have to put up with some trials and battles and wrestling out, but it's for the sake of salvation of other souls. It's for the sake of glorifying God in a godless world. That's a big call. How many got that? That's what we're doing. He promised to be with you to the very end. I'll never leave you or forsake you. So we're seated. So the position is we're seated in heavenly places. So when this battle comes your way, whatever it might be, and I could list several, I list a couple of them there, whether it be a family matter, whether it be job-related matter, whether it be a neighborhood matter, there are forces working against you. Immediately go in prayer to where you belong and see yourself seated in heavenly places, the body of Christ. You've been purchased by the blood of Jesus, and you begin to, that your inheritance is that you are the body, you're with him, and all things are under you. So fight from a position of faith in Christ. You're hid in Christ. Fight from that position. You're going to see a difference in your life. I guarantee if you'll move quickly toward that, you'll begin to see things. And matter of fact, you're going to find yourself not fighting as many battles. Because I think we're fighting too many battles that really could be just dealt with if we're more closer to him and by faith with him. Did you understand what I'm saying there? We fight a lot of the battles because we find ourselves, we step into the fight. Or we allow that temptation to draw us away from being seated there. And that's why it's so important that on a daily basis, it's throughout the day, is by his Spirit. Now, one of the things and why I feel the anointing was on that song that we kind of that where the Spirit leads us and crying out for Spirit led. You see, the whole purpose behind Jesus saying the promise, he said, it's expedient that I go. In other words, to your benefit that I leave. Well, they didn't see it that way. They thought, it's better if you're here, Jesus. No, that doesn't make sense. No, he said, it's better if I go. Why did he say it was better if I go? He said, because if I don't go, I can't send the Spirit. And the power of God was limited to a geographical location with a certain amount of people, but because the Spirit of God came, there's no limit to the Spirit that can go around the world and inhabits every believer. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that's why the gospel is being spread. You know what I heard today? It blew me away. I heard today that in China, that the church has reached 300 million people. The underground church, 300 million people. Now, the population is vast, but it is growing like wildfire under communistic control. In the heat of darkness, the church is exploding. How's it exploding? It's the Spirit of God. You know one of the hardest places for the gospel right now? Is the United States of America. Do you know where there's a lesser move of God's Spirit than any other place? It's United States of America. How do we get ourselves? We call ourselves as Christian Asia, but God is exploding in Central and South America. It's exploding in Korea and China and India, and it's exploding in some of these places. Why is that exploding? It's because, you see, they have a lot less than we have. And because they have a lot less than we have, They have less to depend on than God himself. Did you get that? Now, I'm not here. I love America. I'll fight for America. I thank God for his privileges. But I also know because of the blessings of prosperity, it leads us down a road away from God, away from trusting in him, away from depending on him, away from crying out for the Spirit of God to fill us and lead us, away from faith that says, because there's a lot of things, what do I need faith for? I'll do it. I pick up the cell phone, do what I want, use a credit card, do what I want. Why do you need faith for it? All these things are so handy to do. But when you don't have food on your table, a mom that knows the Lord knows how to pray to get food on that table. So I think we do need to be awakened. And where's it going to start? We can't point a finger and say, well, they just wake up out there. No, I think if we just wake up in here, revival has to begin with the church. The spiritual awakening will begin to happen around us as revival happens in our own heart and seated in heavenly places. 1 John, I'm going to end with this verse here, but in the first epistle to John, in chapter 2, let me just read one verse there. Chapter 2. Listen to what this epistle says here. Chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate before with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. What do we have before us? We have an advocate. So you're saying, well, what right do I? Listen, Jesus stands at the right hand of the Father, who has already given his blood that has been poured on the mercy seat in the throne room of God, that when God the Father looks, he looks over that shed blood. That's when he said it was finished. He looks over that shed blood. He paid a price, and we're forgiven. And then Jesus sits down as an advocate. An advocate is like a lawyer that will just speak in your behalf. And Jesus speaks in your behalf. So when you're in that battle, you have Jesus. The one who died for you, but he's gone further than that, died for you, and he goes to the right hand of the Father, and really, he took it upon himself in speaking behalf of the children of God. What more do I need to win this battle? I don't need any more. I got to put, what's my part? I'm going to put on the armor of God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to keep focusing on him. Those are simple things compared to what Jesus did for us. And not only that, the Father sent the Holy Spirit because Jesus came up. So we have the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, that dwells in us. Listen, it's a win-win-win-win-win situation for every believer. Come on. Can you say amen to that? Say it with me. Win-win-win-win-win. It's a win-win situation. Stand with me.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.